SROA Soundboard, a podcast for radiation oncology administrators. I'm Tammy McCausland. I'm joined in conversation today with Chris Westfall, a business coach, keynote speaker, and best-selling author. Welcome, Chris.
Hi, Tammy. Thanks for having me.
Can you tell me briefly about your background and why you wrote Easier?
About 10 years ago, I launched my business as an entrepreneur, and I had no idea what I was doing. I was a corporate guy for many, many years. I worked for Fortune 100 companies and ran sales and marketing for a manufacturing company out of Cincinnati. I did a number of different things in my career. And when it was time to start my own business, I found that I needed to become a student of success, what success looked like on a new playing field, if you will. And making those discoveries led me to a coaching career, to helping others who were in the same spot, people who had an expertise in a particular area, but they needed to expand that expertise. They needed to go beyond what they had been taught in medical school or law school or in learning about real estate or whatever the case may be. And so I started working with clients to help them with communication skills. That was, and it wasn't because I said, oh, I'm going to be a communications coach. No, this is what started showing up for me. And people started contacting me and saying, you know, Chris, can you help us with the way that we communicate, the way that we approach business, and ultimately the way that we approach investors? And so I came to be known as a pitch coach. So people who were trying to reach out to investors to get capital for their business were turning to me, and my clients started showing up on television shows like Shark Tank and Dragon's Den in Canada and even Shark Tank Australia. And by this time, I had already written my first book, and I had started sharing ideas around how to communicate more effectively. So from these beginnings, here I am today, the author of 4 books and the publisher of several more for friends and colleagues of mine. And my focus is really on helping people who want to create transformation in their lives, who don't want to be just incrementally better, like 1% better tomorrow than they were today, but who need to, for whatever reason, find a way to access that capability to expand, which we all possess. We all have that capability. We all have the ability to adapt to new circumstances and that sort of thing. But sometimes having someone on your team, a second set of eyes and ears to help not only individuals, but entire organizations to see things differently, that's typically where I show up. So that's a little bit about my story.
So to clarify, you decided after all the work you did with the Fortune 100 companies that you wanted to do something on your own, but you didn't know what it was.
Well, I don't know if you can relate to this, but have you ever asked yourself, is this all there is?
Sure.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That was the place where I was. I was like, what else? Mm-hmm. What else? What might be difficult and challenging, but expansive and make me feel more alive, quite frankly. And for me, I was a reluctant entrepreneur. I that wasn't a business model that I mean, I thought I understood it, right? I mean, we sit there, we go, entrepreneurship, sure, I know what that is. But understanding something and actually being able to do it, sometimes two different things. I mean, you know, I could know the entire history of boxing since 1871 up until yesterday, but that's not necessarily going to help me if I'm about to get punched in the face. And business life, it's a contact sport. It's hand to hand. It's hands on. And that hands-on aspect of starting my own business and being able to create service for others. And I've launched multiple businesses. I launched a video production business. I've done publishing, as I mentioned before. And of course, my speaking and writing and consulting. So it was incredibly thrilling for me to know that I was capable of more than what I imagined.
And so is that a message you send to the people that you engage with, that they're capable of more than they imagined?
Yeah. Yeah, and it's not a message of sunshine and peppermints. It's, you know, I'm not trying to be motivational. You can do it. You know, put your shoulder into that brick wall. You can knock it down. You know, that doesn't feel real or useful or true to me. But we're all capable of more than what we realize. We all have capabilities and capacities, such as the capacity to make things easier, even in the middle of difficult situations. So, I mean, it's based on my own life experience, my own observation, but also based on the science that tells us that we are resilient, that we are resourceful. My story is not a superhero story. It's a story about a human being. It's a story about a guy who wanted something more, who you know, had a PhD in making things difficult for himself. And yet here I am, you know, writing a book called Easier.
So why do you say everything in life can be made easier? And if I can just add to that, think about people working in healthcare that were stressed to the max because of COVID, and now we're kind of post-pandemic, but not really. How, and then maybe people are stuck within the confines of their job because they have to go and do the same thing. Some people may love what they do and some don't. But so going back to what I said, why do you say everything in life can be made easier?
It's a bold statement because life isn't easy, and particularly in healthcare with all the various concerns, pricing, patients. I was just at a medical conference in Chicago and talking with doctors who had experienced just a deep level of burnout. They were at that place where they wanted to get out from behind the chair, away from seeing patients. And it wasn't that they had lost their love of medicine. It was because of what medicine has become. And I'm not here to say that it's easy, but here's what I know. In this moment right now, for you and me and everyone listening to the sound of my voice, how many possibilities exist? If you think about that, the answer is unlimited. It's limitless. I mean, I can say anything. I can say New Brunswick. I can say Senegal. I can say Justin Bieber. I can say anything. The possibilities are limitless. And it's easy to see that right now because we're calm and relaxed and we're chatting. And when we're in the middle of, you know, looking at x-rays and the patients are piling up and the admin didn't show up today. And so we've got all kinds of personnel issues and there's all the drama that takes us away from the doctoring. And you know what I'm talking about. And I think everyone listening to me does as well. When we're in the midst of that mess, it's hard to see that possibilities exist. But here's what I know. They always do. Easier is always a possibility. And while your circumstances may not be able to change, the patients may be coming in, the person who didn't show up today, they didn't show up today. But there's a way to show up inside of difficult circumstances that makes that situation, whatever that situation is, easier. And that's what the book is about. And it's not a how-to book. It's not a, you know, it's not a book that's filled with scolding and, you know, 10 commandments and things you're not doing. And it's a story. It's a story about a man who is frustrated with his job, frustrated with the pressures, the day-to-day, and wondering if this is all there is. And if you go, hey, Chris, you just said that. Is this your story? Well, in part it is. It's my story, but it's also your story. It's the story of all of us. It's a story of experience expressed in a business fable, and this is so weird, but it's a fable, but it's the most authentic thing I've ever written. Because it is my experience working with others, but in having coaches in my life, the things that I've seen, that I've experienced, and hopefully through sharing that experience, others can have their own, an experience that says the appointments are the appointments, the patients are the patients, the staff is the staff, and yet there's always a way to show up differently. And how we choose to approach a situation is always available to us. And from this understanding of choice, we're able to access a place of personal freedom, which is the exact opposite of feeling stuck, trapped, and that there's only one way forward in life.
So why did you use a fable, a business fable, a conversation between a client and a coach to communicate your message?
That's a great question, Tammy. When I first pitched this story to Wiley, it was going to be 100 ways to address the future of work. That was what Easier was about. And I started down this path and I was writing 100 blog posts. And I felt like I was Moses times 10, trying to tell, 10 things you need to do and that you're not doing. And I was utterly bored. And I thought, no one in the world will want to read this. And it felt like things that I write for Forbes. It just felt like something that I had done before, and I wanted to explore something new. I wanted to stretch myself. And a big part of the book, Easier, is a conversation. It's a dialogue. And I wanted to see if I could write dialogue. I wanted to see if I could do that. So it was, where did it come from? Challenging myself and not wanting to accept what had gone on before. I wanted to try something new. And maybe people listening to us today are thinking, how can I try something new? Well, something new always exists, even if it is a new way that you show up this afternoon for your patients, or to look at the x-rays or whatever it is that you're on about. There's always a new way to show up, even inside of the same circumstances. And that was what I realized when I started writing Easier.
So when you talk about showing up differently, can you maybe give an example in the healthcare context of how somebody could show up differently?
Absolutely. I was working with a healthcare provider, and they specialize in catering to the needs of children. So they focus on pediatrics. And in the course of an appointment, which was taking place at about 4:45 p.m., by the way, they close at 5, 4:45 p.m., they identified something for a child, a patient, that needed additional treatment. And they explained to the parent that they would have to reschedule, that they could not treat this issue at this time. The parent was incensed. The parent was furious. And they accused the doctor of not being caring, of not taking action immediately. But the doctor explained, look how upset your child is. And the child was distraught and squirrely and squirming and not in a place where this treatment, which would have required stillness and calm. And of course you say, well, can't we use some medication to achieve that state? The doctor knew that the best way to go about approaching this fresh diagnosis was to come back at it on another day. The parent didn't see it that way. And so inside of this conflict, this difficult conversation, the doctor was able to show up differently. The doctor was able to simply explain and share an understanding that shifted the perspective of the parent from, you just don't care, which is, that's kind of a difficult label to lay on a doctor in my experience. But going from you just don't care to I see that your caring takes a different shape, there's a different way to deliver this treatment than what I, the parent, imagine. And so many parents and patients, their first call is to Dr. Google, right? Mm-hmm. They diagnose themselves. Right. And we all do it. It's the way of the world. But I think what it means to be a medical professional in part is to help people see a new way and to help patients to have not just stellar treatment, but a new understanding that explains the approach. And that is a communication issue, that when we use different words, when we show up differently, and our intention is understanding rather than conflict, we can create a new result. And that was what they created. And of course, the mom brought the patient back on another day, and the procedure went off without a hitch when the child was calm. And it was a much, much better solution rather than trying to shoehorn in something at the end of the day when the patient just wasn't ready for it.
That's a great example. Thank you. So you had referred to the fact that you were trying to write 100 ways.
Yeah.
And then you ended up with 60, because the subtitle of the book is about 60 ways. So why 60 ways? because someone might be like, oh my God, 60 ways, I'm not going to be able to read this. But I guess you've shared that it's a business fable. But why 60 ways to make the world of work work for you?
I made a deal with myself that I was not going to try to hit a number of ways. I was not going to write to 100 or 50 or 25. I just detached from the number. And I said, I'm going to write this story, and whatever comes out of the story, whatever lessons come from the story, that's the number. So it wasn't the number that I picked. It was the number that showed up inside the story, if that makes sense. Because I made a deal with myself. If I try to shoehorn in 100 ways, it's not going to sound real. It's not going to feel authentic. And I really want this story. And the feedback that I've received is that people take this book in much the same way that you might watch a YouTube video or experience a story that you really enjoy. You are an observer. You are not... You know, you're not someone in the third pew of the congregation getting a message of hellfire and brimstone. You are able to observe what unfolds in the story. And so I don't know if people think that 60 ways is overwhelming or comforting. I intended it to be hopefully a place of healing and a place of authentic expression where people can observe ways that they can apply to their own lives if they choose to do so, if they're interested in going from frustration to transformation, if they're interested in experiencing life in a new way. And by the way, that is what the gentlemen in the story go through. It's a story of loss, of grief, of challenges to identity, career transition. But inside of this mess, these gents discover a way, not just a way, but 60 ways to make life easier.
So how can easier help readers achieve true transformation?
When we talk about transformation, the first question I think that we need to address is, where does true transformation come from? Does it come from a guru? Does it come from a book? Or does it come from inside? In my experience, it comes from one place and one place only, and that is inside of us. And we may know that it's not a good idea to eat donuts, for example. I'm speaking personally, I love donuts. But I know that they're no good for my girlish figure, right? And I have knowledge too. I have knowledge of the glycemic index. I have knowledge that donuts are processed food. And yet I also have knowledge that says they're delicious. So beyond the information and beyond the knowledge, when we have an insight that says, you know, I want to be around for my kids. I want to live a long life. I want to be better. I want to feel better. I don't want to have a sugar crash in 90 minutes. That reminds me not to eat a donut. And easier reminds us of what is possible beyond just eating sweets, but in all aspects of our lives, our relationships, and particularly our careers. So I don't know if that answers your question, but that's what shows up for me, is that when we're interested in transformation, we have to look inside of ourselves. We've all been there where people say, well, let me give you some good advice. You know, you should just leave that guy. He's no good for you. Oh, okay. Wow, that's easy. Yeah, let me just file for divorce tomorrow. Thanks so much for filling me in on that. That's not how life works. But when we internalize, when we take information and you know, the saying is we take it to heart, but when it goes inside of us and information turns into insight, then we're able to make a decision. Then we're able to make a change. And if you have people supporting you, if you have coaches or whatever that might look like, it makes that transition to transformation easier because you know that you're not alone.
That's a very good point. You've also talked about how leaders should inspire and not instruct. Do you think most leaders understand the distinction?
No, they do not. Because on the surface, and this is a great question, Tammy, because on the surface, it looks like it's easier to just instruct. Do this, don't do that. Put the instruments in the following order. Get ready for the patient that's coming in at 8:30. And so many times in medicine, this is what is disguised as leadership. And it's simply instruction. But when we have an environment where instruction is the only method of communication, what we find as a result, as a symptom, quiet quitting, people who are frustrated, people who want to be respected and heard. I mean, we all understand that things have to get done and that clear communication is effective communication, but also effective communication is a two-way dialogue. And if we are instructing, my question is, how are we listening? How are we incorporating the ideas of the office manager, for example, into the operations of medicine? Because medicine is not just diagnosis and treatment. There's more to the story. And if we focus only on providing expert advice, my question is not how are your patients doing, how are the people in your office doing? And what is it that we can do to change the conversation? And that's not, I'm not saying, you know, that we need to build a campfire and the doctors and office managers need to sit around and sing kumbaya and get in touch with our feelings. But I think that somewhere in between this old school command and control model and getting in touch with our own humanity, there's a place where leadership shows up in a more powerful way. And if doctors are listening to this interview and you're experiencing higher turnover, you're struggling with retention, you're wondering why people are leaving, you might want to take a look at that and ask yourself, what sort of a culture are you creating? Are you creating an easier culture? Or are you creating a culture that's based on, you know, management strategies that are right out of 1957? That's not the world we live in. That's not the style that works. And understanding how to communicate effectively is, I would argue, what they don't teach you in medical school.
It's interesting too, because they've said that with Gen Z, it's very different, and even maybe the tail end of the millennials. And they're saying that, you know, people will say younger people don't want to work, but someone pointed out that they don't want to work the way we've been working. So another point I wanted to make was, it's almost like leaders, you know, when we say to someone, hi, how are you? We should actually put the meaning in how are you? And I think you're suggesting that leaders need to ask the questions instead of just saying, well, I need you to do X. Figure out why people are struggling in their jobs. And I think in healthcare, this may be particularly important because of burnout and because of the pandemic, which exacerbated burnout.
Tammy, what you're saying, I agree with you 100%, but it's counterintuitive to a hard-charging doctor or a busy office where things have to get done. Mm-hmm. But what you're saying is exactly right. If we don't slow down and zoom out, which is, again, counterintuitive, people are like, how can I slow down? I've got patients coming in and that sort of thing. But if we don't slow down and take the time to recognize that expectations have changed, that the way that people want to work has changed. And it's not some massive transformation. It's a minor adjustment. It is a small shift towards easier. It is a small shift if you choose to step into it. But the first thing you have to recognize is that this command and control model is yesterday's news. And if you're using yesterday's strategies to create tomorrow's results, let me tell you how that math's going to work out for you. And I don't know that it's just Gen Z or millennials. It's a popular opinion to focus on that. But I think that all of us today want to be respected. We want to be heard and understood. And how are you as a greeting isn't very effective, but really taking the time to say, how are you? What's behind this quiet quitting movement? What is behind the turnover in your office? And it's a misunderstanding if doctors say, well, that's just the way I am. Because, and let me just share a little bit of science, that's just the way I am isn't. I am a different person today than I was yesterday. I am different now than when this interview began. Subtly different. I mean, it's not massive transformation, but my point is that we are built as human beings to change, to adapt. That is part of our DNA. And psychology today tells us that our personalities can change. Our personalities can change. So saying that's just the way I am, and I only have a limited action vocabulary, and the way I was yesterday is the way I'm going to show up today. I can't be any different in my interaction with Lydia and Trevor and LaTanya. I've got to be the same person I was yesterday. That's a misunderstanding. New possibilities always exist. And if you're experiencing turnover and retention is a problem for you, I suspect that your employees and your future employees are hungry for you to explore what those possibilities look like, because there is a way to get things done. There is a way to do things more respectfully. There is a way to do things more inclusively, and it doesn't have to slow down your practice. In fact, it improves patient care. Thomas Edison famously said, "There is a way to do it better. Find it." And that is about the search for easier.
That's great. Every book has those aha moments that readers connect with. What are the ones from your book that people have shared with you?
Well, Tammy, all of them. Okay. It's, you know, that's a great question, but everyone who shares with me has a different experience of what they take away from the story. One of the central events that happens in the book, no spoilers here, but one of the things that happens is that one of the gentlemen loses his job. He gets fired. In fact, he gets fired over Zoom on a Monday morning. And from this loss of not just career, but identity, things get really difficult really fast. And that may not be the story of everyone. Maybe people have not been fired. Maybe they haven't had to fire someone. But we all know what loss feels like. We all know what it's like to want something to be a certain way, but it's not. It's not showing up that way. And for whatever reason, we can't seem to bring the results into our lives that we want. So what I tried to look at as best I could was a story that was both personal and universal. And I don't know if I've achieved it or not, but the feedback that I'm receiving, because it is different for every person, and where they come into this story and what they take away from it is, it's a very individualized journey. But from this place of really a loss of identity, a loss of a job that is a loss of identity, comes a new identity, a new understanding that we aren't just human doings. We are human beings. And sometimes it feels like, I don't know, in my life that I'm just doing. I'm just doing because I'm doing in the pursuit of having, right? I'm chasing the whatever it is, whether it's paying off debts or it's acquiring new equipment or doing whatever it is that I need to do to achieve in my business. And underneath all of that pursuit is who I am. Underneath all that pursuit is my identity. And that's not an ego exercise or a story about the parchment on my wall or my academic achievements or the number of clients that I serve. It's about coming to an understanding that how you are showing up is creating the world around you, that from our being comes our doing. And I hope that doesn't sound too woo-woo or zen or anything like that, but the book shares some of the science behind that strategy. And if readers experience what the book is pointing at and they see it from their own point of view, that insight is, in my experience, the first step towards true and lasting change, which is at the heart and soul of easier.
That's awesome. Well, I don't have any other questions, but it's been really great talking to you today.
Well, it's great talking to you, and thank you for your questions, Tammy. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to SROA Soundboard. We hope you will join us again. For more information, visit www.sroa.org.